Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Hello and welcome to today's show. Like so many of us in our 40s and 50s, are you dissatisfied, perhaps even miserable, with your life circumstances today? Most mornings, do you wake up dreading what's in store and wishing you could just sleep in? Do you suffer from persistent emotional or physical pain? Are fear and anxiety robbing you of the energy, positive emotions, and the clear-headed thinking needed to confront and conquer your challenges? Well, I bet your natural tendency, I know it's mine, is to attempt to run away from and bury these negative emotions. But often they simply won't go away, will they? No one, though, likes to dwell on the negatives. Most of us are familiar with the law of attraction, and we've talked about that on prior programs, how by visualizing peace, joy, and vitality, we can bring positive outcomes into our lives. But our guest today has a very different message. Instead of running away, she advises you to connect with and embrace your negative thoughts and emotions, and says it's actually empowering. Our guest today is Lori Heusinger. She's author of Toggle It, A Guide to Reboot Your Emotional System. She's a holistic therapist and owner and operator of Alpha Omega Therapeutics in beautiful Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hello, Lori, and welcome to our program.
Hello, Roy. Thank you very much for inviting me on.
Well, in seeking transformation to a joyful, vital, and carefree life at middle age, why does it make sense to connect with, even to embrace, negative thoughts and emotions?
Well, it really makes sense when we begin to understand how the emotional system actually works, Roy. And the emotional system is what I study. And the emotional system is an energy system. And, you know, it's not something that we can see or grab or hear, but we definitely feel it. It's like barometric pressure.
Yeah.
It affects everything. If we know how the system really functions, then we begin to understand the negative emotions are really just placeholders for the positive emotions, because the system works in a polarity.
Oh, I see.
And through life experiences, our mind has inadvertently programmed the positive emotions into negative ones. And that actually can be a temporary or permanent state based on our understanding of whether or not we can figure out how to get this emotional system to literally toggle or reboot back to the positives.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, I guess.
It really is. It is the million-dollar question.
Well, tell us how suppressing fear and other negative emotions actually is harmful to your health. How exactly does this occur?
Okay. Well, the emotional system actually runs through rivers of energy in the body. So it integrates not only in the mind as we feel negative emotions, but it also affects the body. Very specific emotions affect very specific areas of the body. If we have negative emotions, and I'll simplify it by working with just rage, for instance. If we have a lot of anger, that emotion really disrupts our ability to communicate with people, to really think clearly. So we try to talk ourselves out of it. And that is what we call suppressing the negative emotion.
Yeah.
And as we suppress the negative emotion, it literally goes down into a storage bank in the body and begins to cause problems in the body. But the mind is no longer burdened by that particular emotion, although the clarity of thinking hasn't necessarily restored itself, but at least we're not burdened with the anger. Although we may find that we have a lot of low back pain or pain in the hips, pain in the top of the shoulders.
I sometimes find that anger at myself can be good, and it could inspire me to do things next time better than how I'd done in the past. I suspect part of it's who you're angry at, really.
Well, part of it is. And also, if you can contemplate your anger, you can create a natural toggle, which is that as you sit with your anger and you begin to really work with it, it will naturally reboot itself.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, most of the things that we have very strong negative emotions about, we don't really want to think about them, and so we don't end up actually rebooting that energy.
Yeah, as I put it in my book, to really battle the enemy of negative emotions, you have to know who your enemy is. And that's why I clearly agree with you that you have to know really what you're angry at or what's really troubling you, what you really fear and what you really don't want to face, because if you bury those, you're never going to be able to attack and find a solution to them.
Exactly. And so what you're describing is a very effective way to use our intellect to seek understanding that will literally change the emotional feeling. In some cases, though, Roy, when we've had a very devastating event, maybe somebody's been attacked, it is very hard to talk ourselves to a high enough level of understanding to no longer feel those emotions.
Yes, that's for sure.
And so those are places, like with PTSD, where we get very stuck in that negative emotional cycle. But the emotional system still has the potential of polarity.
And PTSD, and so, just in case, that's post-traumatic stress disorder, is that what?
Yes, it's what's experienced after somebody has gone through a very traumatic event or a series of traumatic events.
Yeah, I know you mentioned war, of course, is a common...
Yes, that's where we hear a lot about it.
Yeah.
And so in that kind of scenario, we would actually want the individual to go back and recount and think about the event where the strongest emotions are held. Because in order to transform the emotional system from a negative polarity back to its positive counterpart, we have to actually engage that particular negative emotion. And that's what the book talks about. It explains how it was discovered and actually how one can use the mind and the focus on those negative emotions to produce a flip in the actual polarity of the emotional system so that our strongest negative emotions can be neutralized and they will literally restore the positive emotions that have been lost. So really you start to see the negative emotions as placeholders for the emotions that you really desire to have instead.
Yeah, we need to get those placeholders out of the way.
We do, but also there can be a real joy to understanding that when anger comes up, it is really your inspiration trying to restore itself. It needs your focus and your ability to shift that particular emotion in order to do that change. But once you figure it out, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, that's what I'd call positive anger, is when you figure out why you're angry and you use that to a positive benefit. But can you explain ways that negative emotions actually affect specific bodily functions and cause disease? I know your personal experience. Tell them a little about your asthma and how you overcame that through your efforts.
Well, I've made great improvements in my asthma, Roy. I have not really gotten to the place where I say that it's gone through a complete cure by any stretch of the imagination, but the experience of the asthma has changed tremendously, and that has been such a relief. But what we have done is once I was able to figure out the mechanics of the emotional system, and that's that it works in a polarity, and then I figured out a way to get it to shift the polarity. So we've got the mechanics, and now we have a tool that we can use. Then I was able to overlay other areas of alternative medicine and their discoveries, specifically Oriental medicine. And they understand that very specific emotions are are, let's see, how is the best way to put it, affect very specific mental function, and together those two things affect organ systems. And so they've got these broken out into five different processes, and they call them elements. And so what happens is that if the mind is functioning at a very strong and positive level, which requires positive emotion to fuel it, then the correlating organ systems will function very well. But if the emotions get flipped to negatives, it begins to bog down the mind's effectiveness at functioning, and simultaneously it drains energy from the actual organ systems. And they begin to slowly go into pain and dysfunction, and will eventually can develop chronic problems.
I see.
And so go ahead.
Here's a personal example of a person I know. I have a niece who fell down years ago at work, fell off a ladder and wrenched her back, and she's fallen since in the shower, and she has chronic back pain, and she's got some emotional pain as well, pending divorce and some other things going on in her life. But how would she be able to, would she be able to somehow at least lessen the pain or overcome that pain through this toggling method, because her back really bothers her most of the time?
I would assume it's more low back.
Yeah, I believe so, but I'm not.
Okay. Well, let's. I'm going to make the assumption that we've got low back pain going on.
Yeah.
And so what I would say is that the emotions that affect the low back have to do with anger and fear. And what that does, anger and fear that you're trying to talk yourself out of. And it'll be funny, because people who really strive to be good in their life tend to be the ones who talk themselves out of those negative emotions the most.
Yeah, that's very true.
Okay, it is very true.
Turn the other cheek.
Exactly. And as you turn the other cheek, you're storing your emotions down in the body. And it will weaken
really
those areas.
It's not going away, in other words. It's just stored deep down in
exactly.
the tank.
You are exactly right. So in that scenario, and let me just kind of paint a picture, in divorce there's a lot of anger and fear,
yeah.
along with other emotions, but these are probably the two predominant ones. She's probably very angry, I'm going to guess, and a kind of afraid to express how angry she is.
Yeah.
So there is the combination. What that does, as those emotions are stored, it creates a block for the energy and the vitality that runs down the spine and out onto the hips. And in that block, it makes her more susceptible to injury. Okay? Tissue that does not have a block in it will heal very quickly. Tissue that is subjected to a block will heal slowly, and in some cases will not heal.
Yeah.
And so for her scenario, I would suggest that she go back and think about, maybe in the counseling session, or we have a free audio download off of my website at toggleit.com, and she could listen to it, and then as she listens to it, she would want to bring up her anger, her rage, her resentment, and do this mental focus and literally draw on those negative emotions to reboot them to the positive.
That's a very interesting concept.
Right. What it'll do for her is twofold. Number one, the pain will get better.
Yeah.
Number two, she will begin to gain some insights into her relationship that will allow her a lot more freedom and understanding of why she's in the space she's in. Excuse me one minute.
Boy, this sounds
I had a little cough.
Oh, that's okay.
And so what we're seeing then is the emotion, the frame of mind, and the body all being very intimately connected.
Yes, that's a fascinating concept that I never really thought about.
It took a long time to discover it. And, I think it sounds like you read the book through. And the place where this discovery was made was that when I had my asthma was very severe at a certain point in the middle of a cold, and I was actually in the hospital kind of on the verge of actually dying from this particular attack. and I had an out-of-body experience. That out-of-body experience effectively toggled, if you will, my emotional system to a positive frequency. And when that happened, my asthma started clearing up.
Huh.
And when I came out of that experience, I felt like I had had a brain transplant, Roy. It was an amazing thing.
I could use one of those.
I think we all could. I wished I could have kept it. I was able to sustain that frame of mind, really, and it was, I would say, a 100% positive emotional experience.
Did that out-of-body experience just happen? You will it to happen? Or, you know,
it just happened.
Wondered.
I thought, I actually gave up. You know, I had barely been breathing for about 12 hours. I was exhausted. And the doctor, you know, when you go into the hospital as an asthmatic, they have the medicines that they immediately put into the IVs, and it takes about 20 minutes, but you start feeling better.
Yeah.
And so once you get there, you know, okay, I just got to hang on 20 more minutes. Well, after about a half an hour, the medicines weren't working. And so it was the last bastion. And when the doctor came in and said, just focus on breathing, I realized I was utterly exhausted.
Yeah.
And I realized I'm not going to live through this. And so I closed my eyes, and the next thing I knew, I was sort of being lifted out of body. And as I was lifted out of body, I had got, there was a guide, a spirit guide kind of experience that took place. I was given information. But as I kept coming back into my body, I would re-engage with the fear of being in it. And so I would close my eyes, and I was able to sort of move in and out of the space for a couple of days. Each time I came back, I felt emotionally stronger and stronger.
Boy,
and the body was
better.
Too
bad everyone couldn't go through something like that. It was.
You don't want to.
It was a great well, maybe, no, but long term, it certainly benefited you, I'm sure.
Well, you know,
that insight.
Yes, I would just love to be able to bring people this tool so that they don't have to get into that kind of a critical condition.
Yeah, that's
to
true.
Me,
there
that's
might
the
be
real
a more
joy.
Pleasant shortcut to that rather than going through a near-death experience, obviously.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I think we try to avoid near-death at every chance we can.
Yeah, I think that's a good tactic.
And so, but what it has brought is the ability to see that the emotional system definitely works in a polarity. The negative emotions are actually the aberrations of the positive emotion. And so, at a, you know, if we want to talk about how these emotions originally toggle to a negative, it's great to be able to use the experience of a child who's playing in the mud. And they're experiencing their positive emotions, Roy. I mean, you know, they've got curiosity.
Nice smooth mud and curiosity.
Wonder.
And
exactly. But if an adult comes to them and reprimands them severely and shames them, they will have a moment of decision that they are faced with. If they refuse to learn the lesson, we call them stubborn. And what they will do is they will not take on the shame at that moment. If
we either consider them stubborn or little pigs.
Exactly.
Who love to go in the mud.
Right. But if they do accept the lesson, their mind will literally shift the emotion that they're in, which is curiosity and wonder, and flip it to a negative frequency, and it will become what we call shame.
Yes, there's so much of that goes on in childhood, unfortunately, that the curiosity and the positive exploration is limited by ground rules that are laid down, often unintentionally, by parents or teachers or whatever, that says you can't go there, you got to stick within convention, and it's shameful if you do that, and it's just such a shame.
Well, and it's such an important part of being part of society.
Yeah.
You know, the curious thing now, though, if we come back to the child, is that the child now feels shame.
Yeah.
And it's painful. But the other thing is that every time the child is in a situation requiring curiosity and wonder, the emotion will come up as the shame. So now there is actually a chronic emotional condition that exists, and the child will build that into their experience, trying to avoid things that make them feel shameful, so they become more introverted.
They become timid, and they don't want to do anything.
They
play by the rules, and you never try anything new.
Right. Yet
that's
the shame.
So much of a problem for the people I'm addressing that get, you know, they get going on a career path that they're not really that excited about, but they lock themselves in and say, I can't try anything different because I'm an accountant or I'm this or that.
Right. We get locked into a certain
belief.
And so, but the other really joyful thing about this scenario, Roy, is that that shame sits there as a placeholder to eventually be restore curiosity and wonder.
Yeah.
So when I teach people to toggle, it's not just that the negative emotion dissipates and neutralizes, but it is replaced by a positive emotion.
Yeah, okay. You've convinced me, and I'm sure most of the listeners, that recognizing and embracing the negative thought patterns is a good thing to do. But once they've surfaced and you want to get that blockage out of the way, can you offer a few specific techniques that we might be able to use to unblock the negative thoughts so we can rid ourselves of what may be lifelong pain or timidity or whatever?
Well, that's actually what the book is about. And the book describes the literal technique that I call a toggle.
Yeah.
And it really is understanding that there is an aspect of the mind or the thinking system that can literally draw in the negative emotion. And in the drawing in, it will literally flip automatically to its positive counterpart.
Boy, that sounds fascinating.
It is. The part where most people have difficulty, there's two places. Number one is they don't really like to go and think about the negative. They prefer to keep it suppressed. And number two, once they bring up the negative, they're very resistant without the knowledge that we're conveying now, and it's in the book and what have you. They're very resistant to wanting to draw that in because we've always been resisting and rejecting that part of our experience. And so I call it a reverse thinking technique because it literally reverses what you think you know, and it reverses the way you deal with it. But once you experience the shift a couple of times, really read through the book so that you can predict what each shift will literally restore, then you become addicted in a sense. I mean, the clients that I've worked with, it is a life tool.
Addicted and positively.
Right. And at first it takes some real guidance to be able to do this technique. It's incredibly simple, Roy, but it takes some guidance. So there is a free download.
Yeah, I know it seems too easy and too good to be true.
Love
things like that.
Yes, I've had medical schools turn me down because they, you know, for research projects on this, because they said, nah, you're teaching people to take care of themselves. There's no money in that.
that's so much of holistic medicine that's turned down by the so-called medical professionals because it's too easy and it goes against all these expensive drugs that they've been peddling for some time.
Yes. So, you know, I hope that answers some of your questions. I mean, each range of a negative emotions will affect very specific organ systems, and that's outlined in the book, as you know. So if you have a lot of fear, it's going to tend to affect your kidneys, your reproductive system, and your bladder.
Oh, wow.
If you have a lot of anger you're storing, it's going to affect your liver and your gallbladder more.
My wife had her gallbladder removed. I guess she must have been angry.
And she probably is a very good woman and doesn't really want to talk about it.
No. That was causing her all this pain, and they misdiagnosed it for years, and it was just a simple operation.
Yes. Well, you know, sometimes, the emotional system can, as it's suppressed, will generate pain that can't be actually detected with medical equipment. And so, but eventually it will break down the particular organ systems, and then they'll find it. You would think that the organ system was already broken down and that's what's causing the pain. But what this discovery indicates is that the emotional system was generating the pain, and eventually it broke down the organ. So we'd like to blame the medical system, but actually they were doing their due diligence. It's just that they can't monitor the emotional system in the body.
I like a point you made, I think, in the preface to your book that you can use toggling to counter what people usually consider as a normal decline that can be expected as part of aging. I know we've had programs on conscious aging, and I don't think you have to feel older just because chronologically your life is getting longer in tooth. And I like that thought of using toggling to stay young, in effect, positively.
Well, you know, it is. It's very effective that way. People feel like they're back in their 30s, back in their 20s, because you've literally restored the emotions that you felt then. A lot of our identification with getting old is getting grumpy and discouraged and afraid.
Yeah.
And so that's because we've piled up more and more negative emotions, which simultaneously reduces the amount of positive emotions that we still have left to feel.
Yeah, and there's so much of that when you reach a certain age and you haven't accomplished everything you thought you would at that point to say, you know, the highlight of my age is past and I really have nothing to look forward to, so I must be miserable.
Exactly. But if we can get a handle on the emotional system and restore some of that, a dear friend of mine in his late 70s went back to school to get a master's degree, and then
good
he went
you.
Into counseling. Then he learned Navajo, and he started working with kids on the Navajo Nation. And
oh,
it was like,
great.
You know, he taught me that there is no point in our in age that we no longer have opportunities. We can generate any opportunity we want.
And
it's really just about the motivation and clarity and desire and passion to do so, which if we toggle the emotions, we'll get those back.
And there's no reason why negative experiences from our past in any way limit our potential for the future for peace, joy, and accomplishment. That's, I think, the main message people
That's
can get
beautiful.
Out of this also.
Yes, exactly. They're just the emotions stuck with those old experiences are just placeholders that can restore the positive emotional field.
Yeah, well, I wish we had more time, but we're just about out of it. Tell people how they can purchase your book, because I think most everybody that's listening would want to get a hold of that, because valuable insights.
Great, yes. The book is available on my website, number one, and that's at www.toggleit.com. And when they purchase the book on the website, they will get a signed copy of the book and an audio CD with the instructions on how to toggle. So once they read the book,
great.
They're going to go, okay, I still don't quite get it. Well, that's when you plug in that audio CD and you listen to it, and it literally talks you through those steps.
So you get kind of an extra benefit by going to your website. I guess you don't get that audio CD if you go through Amazon or somebody like that.
Exactly. Now, on Amazon, you can buy the book. It's either in Kindle or in paperback.
Yeah.
And then you can go to the website and still get the free audio download, but that'll be on your computer.
Yeah.
So if you want that CD, then you would go to my website and you would order it, because it'll come with that CD.
And do you still do I know you provide one-on-one consultation. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you to explore that possibility, would they go to your website for that also?
Yes, they can go to the website. The phone number is there. They need to just call my office and leave a message, and we will set up an appointment time. It is great to be able to track with people for at least about 6 or 7 sessions. They generally run about a half an hour. And or we can do full hour sessions as well. But once you know the technique, then those sessions tend to shorten up and be about a half hour long.
Yeah.
And we can set those up right over the phone.
Well, I am certainly impressed with your studies and your knowledge and the book. And I think that this is something very valuable for our listeners at middle age who are really discouraged with where they are right now or faced with fear and anxiety about the future. Now is the time to check in, to toggle it, and find out what possible benefits you can gain from that. And thank you so much, Lori, for being our guest today.
Roy, thank you so much. I very much enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. Well, today, let me tell you about a website called thegettingupproject.com. At midlife, just about all of us have fallen down emotionally at least once in our lives. personally, I can recall several times in my life when I hit the bottom after I'd lost a couple of good jobs, after other personal problems. But my story is far less dramatic than that of our second guest today, both his falling down and his getting back up. My guest is Michael Harris, a successful businessman, business coach, popular yoga teacher, and author of a new book, Falling Down, Getting Up, A Story of Overcoming Life to Live. Hello, Michael. Welcome to our program.
Hello, Roy. Thank you for having me today.
Well, briefly, tell us your personal story, and that was the inspiration, I guess, for your book.
Yes, it really was. And, you know, the book Falling Down, Getting Up is really about everybody that's ever done that, which is just about everybody that's listening, especially as we enter into middle age. We've all done it probably a number of times. But most of my falling down really happened prior to 30 years old. When I was 12 years old, I had a water skiing accident, and as a result of the accident, I had 60% of my liver removed, gallbladder, had massive internal injuries, I slid into a coma, and I wasn't expected to live. And eventually I came out of that, but it didn't really, I hate to say it this way, it didn't really hit me what had happened, even though I hit pretty hard in that accident.
Yeah.
By 27 years old, I had been drinking and being pretty wild for a number of years and ended up in the hospital again. This time I had vascular disease, which most of us don't get till we get to be a little bit older, middle age or even older, 60, 70,
yeah.
80 years old.
Yeah,
but I ended up
awfully young for that.
it was a very unusual case. And they talked about amputating both my legs, and
wow.
My right leg was 100% blocked. My arteries were just worn out. So I went through all of that, and something that I discovered at the time was this stuff called yoga. I never knew that yoga had such the type of healing powers that it did, and I started practicing yoga on a regular basis. You know, I would have done just about anything at the time to feel better, but it really helped, yoga and walking.
Oh, I love walking. I have never tried yoga, but it's certainly something that some of our listeners might be interested in.
Well, yeah, and walking is great. I mean, you walk a mile, you walked about 2,000 steps.
Yeah.
And besides the heart muscle in our chest, the other heart muscles that most people really overlook is the calf muscles. And the
yeah.
calf muscles help to pump the blood through our system. So walking is tremendous, especially as we age. It's one of the most simplest, low-impact things we can do.
And I've had so many of my best ideas when I'm out walking. I'm frustrated here at the desk or something. You get out there, especially if it's a nice day, and you come up with some really good inspiration. But
it seems to be a good place.
Our listeners we'd be most interested in the getting up part. So can you offer any suggestions for someone who feels down at middle age? Maybe they're out of work, recently divorced, addicted to alcohol or something like that. Or maybe they're just plain uninspired and don't feel like they're as far along in their life as what they expected to be at this point.
Sure.
Do you have any suggestions as to how you could go about, other than yoga, of course, that's something anyone can try.
great question, and there's lots of questions in there, so I'm going to focus in on one of them, and that's, you know, oftentimes as we get to middle age, maybe we're not working as much, maybe we're not making as much money as we like, and here's a great example. I was in a Macy's store in Bellevue a couple months ago, and I walked in there, and there was a gentleman. I was going in to buy a couple of dress shirts, and there was a gentleman working there. I'm 53. I suspected he was probably a few years older than me. And he had all those buttons on his shirt, you know, 10 years of service, you know, sales expert, all these other things. And I thought, here's an example of a person that's got all this tremendous experience, and he could start his own sales consulting job, probably get paid more and work less.
Yeah, and probably enjoy it a lot more too.
I would think so. So, you know, it's hard, though, to get up off the couch. Again, I mean, I like what you said about walking. I'm a huge proponent of that. And just getting off the couch, whether, you know, somebody drinks too much. I mean, there's lots of available free services out in the community, whether it's Alcoholics Anonymous or other type of programs to help people. Whether somebody just doesn't have a job is, you know, I help many people go back and look at some of their job history and go, okay, what can you do? Where are your successes that you have? What can you do to build that up?
Yeah, I liked you have a video on your website where I really liked your suggestions to help other people. It takes so much to get outside your own problems, and when you start thinking about helping other people, it often comes back to give you some good ideas for helping yourself. And also that suggestion you had of telling your story as an inspiration to others. I like that as a, when you go back and inspiring things in your past, it brings back good memories and it gets you up off the couch and gets you into action.
Well, and we all have stories, and storytelling is synonymous really with healing. And, you know, each person offers something different. You know, your falling down situation may really connect with somebody else you tell your story to.
And tell us how people can get to your website and get your new book, which I'm really sure a lot of people would like to get a hold of, Falling Down, Getting Up.
Sure. Well, it is, my website is thegettingupproject.com. So you can go there. You can order the book from Amazon. It actually hit number one in the United States and Canada on July 25th this year. My publisher said it would happen, and I was shocked he was right.
That's great.
Yeah.
And you also do some business coaching or things like that people might
I do. It's all available on the website. Again, it's thegettingupproject.com. And to just go to the coaching page, and it will give various information about how to contact me. And it's absolutely no charge, just to give me a call to see whether it makes sense to do it or not.
Well, you have a very inspirational project going there, and best of luck. And I hope people will go to your website and check it out. Thank you so much for joining us today, Michael.
Thank you, Roy, for having me.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.